Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
I'm reading from verse 24 of Deuteronomy chapter 2. Rise ye up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, glory to God. Behold, I have given unto thine hand Zion, the Amorite king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole of heaven, who shall hear report of thee and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee. Let's go over to Jude. Hey, Jude. And Jude, verse 3. Beloved, when I gave allegiance, all diligence. My Bible is, the page is wrinkled up. Okay. I ain't never read that in that verse before. I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you shall earnestly, what? Contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. I've been teaching on receiving your inheritance, and one of the things that I said about it is that we're putting it all together. I've taught on love. I taught some on faith. I taught some on what God's plan for you is financially. I taught also on how to hear the voice of God. Taught on the blessing. Now we're going to be putting all this together because we're going in. And so it's very key that you don't forget the pillars by which we've already established and decide to put God's word first place in whatever we're doing. Put it first place. Why? Because Satan has vowed to stop your access. He has vowed to rob you of what belongs to you. But I decree he's not going to rob you. And everything he's already stolen, you're getting it back. Now, to do this, what we're talking about now, you're going to have to develop your faith, because your faith is going to have to be developed in whatever we talk about here, because you have to have faith to stand against opposition. As you go in, all the redemptive promises that you have in Christ, you're going to have to stand, because faith is the only guarantee that you're going to have that you're going to receive what God has promised you. And receiving your promises is something that's going to take a fight, that you're going to have to be prepared that if you're going to get it from God, you're going to have to fight for it. If you're going to get your healing, you're going to have to fight for it. Come on, if you're going to get the deliverance, you're going to have to fight for it. Now, you're not fighting against God, but you're fighting a good fight of faith, because that's the only way that you're going to take it again from the evil one. So, faith guarantees you that you will receive your inheritance. Faith is the guarantee. And the good thing about faith is that faith shifts the battle. That once you get in faith, the battle transfers from you to God. So God is going to fight for you. So it's impossible to access your promises without fighting for it. It is impossible. So as we look at this and look at this, these scriptures, I want to say that where we are now is we're going to have to now seriously get serious about the kingdom. And you're going to see where I'm going in just a minute here. I'm just trying to make sure I'm covering everything for you. Because what the enemy has put up cannot stop you if you know what to do. And that's part of what we're going to talk about today. All right? So first, we're going to put God's word faith first place. So in every situation, we got to put God's word faith first place. Now, I'm saying that because there's deception out there. And Satan puts up a lot of smoke screens. And he tries to use friends and relatives and so forth. In Romans chapter 3, if you will. In Romans chapter 3, and looking at verse 3, he says, "For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be what? True. And every man be a liar." Now let's apply that scripture. Let's come over to Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 4, look at verse 1. He said, "Let us therefore fear," fear means believe, "lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." So I've got to mix the word with faith. So what is my mixer? My tongue. So now I'm going to preach to you. And he says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 14, he says, "How then shall they call on him who they've not believed? Or how can they believe on him who they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall he preach except he be sent?" So I've been sent. So I'm your preacher. And if you look at Numbers, and Numbers chapter 13, it's where Moses sent some spies to spy out the land of Canaan. Now, once those 12 spies spied it out for 40 days, they came back with a report. You know the story, but I'm just jumping off here. That they came back with two different reports. Now, they were both preachers. They were preaching to a congregation, and they were preaching, supposedly, the gospel. And I'm going to tell you right now, if somebody's really preaching it, really preaching the gospel to the natural mind is not reasonable. So get ready to hear some unreasonable stuff. Now, what are you going to do when you hear it? See, the word didn't profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, how do I mix it? I've got to put it in my mouth, keep it in my ears, put it in my heart. Are you following what I'm saying? I got to mix this because just as it is, it's not doing me any good. I got to get it from information to revelation. All right? So I got to mix this. So the two reports, one said we can't take it. The other said we're well able. Now, who's telling the truth? Well able. So let God be, and every man be a liar. So I got to take the word and speak the word in every situation that I have, and not regard what so-and-so said, because let God be true and every man be a liar. Because when I'm dealing with Canaan, I'm dealing with get my stuff, and my stuff is going to be on the other side of my faith. So I'm going to have to develop faith to get past the enemy to get my stuff. So I'm going to have to say what God says, no matter what it looks like. Say amen to this. So if you'll look at different things, because I was looking at Jesus and kind of looking at what he did with the word. He let the word do the work. Most of the miracles that he did were done by words. They weren't done by some action. They were done by words. And I look at the Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11. And he said, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing that where I sent it. I look over at even in Genesis. He said in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning was in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And I looked at it, says God said, and God said, and God said. So I went to John chapter 1, and John chapter 1 says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now understand what he spoke to. He spoke to a mess. He spoke to stuff that couldn't be fixed. He spoke to things that were cursed. He spoke, and God spoke it, and whatever he spoke, it became. Now, what he did is he packaged up this word in his promises, and he gave this book to you that if you have any problem, then you take a word, mix it with faith, and speak it. And when you speak it, it's going to have the same power that God used when he spoke it. So he said, if you are sick, he said, what you can do, he sent his word, come on, and healed them. That's Psalm 107 and verse 20. So he sent his word and it healed them. Now I watch Jesus, because Jesus used the word. He used the word. He said, go, your daughter is already made whole. Praise God. He said, be healed. He said, be made whole. I mean, he kept speaking the word. And I start seeing, he said, my words, they are spirit and they are life. And in the words, they will cut off anything else. So never did I see Jesus ask anybody, now what did the doctor say? I mean, does it run in your family? So forth. The closest I saw to Jesus getting a diagnosis is when he told the man, how long has your son been like this? That's the closest I saw. I didn't see Jesus try to come up with some kind of diagnosis or something. I just saw him speak. And he told you, you don't need a diagnosis. All you need to do is call for the elder of the church. They'll anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if it been any sins, you'll be forgiven. Or he said, you can lay hands on the sick in Jesus' name, and they shall, come on, recover. My point to you is where did all this other stuff come from? Now, thank God for the physicians, because they're apostles of healing. But for the most part in the church, we should have such an anointing. We should have such truth. Come on, we should have such power that the church can use the church's remedy that's right here in this Bible and get our healing right now. So I began to say, what's wrong? What has come out of this? So I went back to my old days of going, and when I went to seminary. And when I went to seminary, then we began to get courses in theology and so forth. And as I got those courses, I noticed that I was in one course. It was a New Testament course. And I went about six times. It was a great lecture course. So it had about, I don't know, 200 or 300 people in it. And I went up after one class, and I just kind of got little something in my, something didn't go right. And I went up to the instructor. I said, Dr. So-and-so, I said, listen, when are we going to bring our Bible? Now, I'm curious. Now, I'm trying to figure out what up. I'm trying to figure out what's going on here. And so he said, well, thank you, Mr. Winston. And I pleasantly walked away. Well, he came to class next time, says, from now on, all of you students, bring your Bibles. We're gonna get in the Word of God. Now, understand, what were we doing up until then? Well, we were studying redaction criticism. We were studying Hegel and Kant. Now, we were memorizing what they said. And they were lying. Now, I got to remember a lie. I got to program myself with a lie. Come on. In the name of education. I'm going to help somebody out here now. So, I went and did some research. So a guy sent me a book, and I just picked it up the other day, and it was on a person who had been radicalized. The name of the book was something like How I Converted from Jihad. He was a Christian. Well, how you get converted? He said, now it's kind of an interesting thing how they got us brainwashed. Because when he was born, he said they were taught hatred. And that, you know, that he was talking about how hatred can be developed like a drug addiction, so forth and so on like that. But then he started talking about how the people that he was around, how the education taught that and so forth in terms of dislike for the Jews and so forth and so on, and some of this, all this other stuff. So it was kind of what I call brainwashing. You've been there. And Hitler did the same thing with Germany, all right? Taught him that every other race is not valuable. And so as he did that, I was thinking about it because I wanted to know how he taught this. And he said, as a result of parents teaching in this, in the community and so forth, I didn't know anything else. I didn't know anything, so I believed it. Because I didn't know anything else. Now, growing up, I was taught that these people are my enemy. So I didn't know anything else. And I started thinking about that. So now, some people call it fanatic. Now, I understand people go to Cubs game. Come on, they go to the Bulls game. And we're excited, jump all over the place, popcorn going, drinks going everywhere, so forth, mad at the referee, yeah, so forth and so on. But soon as you come into church, if we jump up and down and talk about Jesus and what he's done for me, come on now. So my point to you is that it seems like people in certain religions are being radicalized. And one of the reasons why is because they don't know anything else. See, this book is what I'm supposed to know. Now, I want you to get me now, because I'm not coming down on people, because that isn't by itself. I'm talking about the radical side. Say amen to this. And I'm saying that in our community as Christians, it seems like the Christian community and the believers were more, quote, quote, radical than they are today. I'm not talking about radical hate. I'm talking about radical love. I'm talking about, it seems like, oh, praise God. Come on now, devil, I bind you in Jesus' name. I went back and I was trying to go back to see what people did. And I saw Abraham, and Abraham couldn't have kids. He was beyond childbearing, and his wife never had kids. And God said, tell them that you're a father of multitude. He had to publicly say that he was a father of many nations, and his wife couldn't have a kid, and he was beyond childbearing. Come on, somebody say amen to that. I went and looked at Moses. He told Moses, go down there, tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And I'm not going to send a big army with you, Moses. I'm going to give you Aaron and a stick. And I want you to go down there and tell him. I went to Gideon, and I began to see how Gideon had a time where God had Gideon said, listen, my mighty man of valor. Now, Gideon was just as stupid as I don't know what. But it doesn't make any difference. When God calls you, he can anoint you because, come on. And he said, Gideon, and Gideon picked 33,000 men. He said, Gideon, you got too many for me. Gideon dropped off all them, but 10,000 thought he was good with God. God said, no, that ain't radical enough. He said, I want you to get rid of everybody but 300 men and beat all these armies. Listen, Gideon did it and whipped them hands down. How about David? David not only went to the front line and say, I have slain a lion, I have slain a bear, I can take this big guy too. He went to the front line, took that sling, slung it up. The Bible says the rock sunk in the man's head. I don't know about you, but have you ever been hit in the head with a rock? No, don't answer that. I have. Some people say that's what's wrong with me. I have. But I've been hit in the head with a rock. It did not sink in. Do you know how fast a rock has to be traveling to sink in your head? It has to have the velocity of a bullet. And if it doesn't have that, it can't sink. I'm telling you, David took that rock, sunk it in, but that wasn't enough. He went up to the man, took the man's sword, cut the man's head off, took the head, and went back to the camp and said, hey, check it out. Check it out. Check it out. I'm just saying, where are the radical believers? Where are the believers that don't care what people think about them? Where are the ones that are willing to step up to any challenge that's going to come along? Let me tell you, a man named Charles Finney, and they're talking about big prayer. Charles Finney would come to town, he and dad, whoever did dad call, they called him, and he and him would pray for 3 or 4 days fasting, and they would pray. Once they got done praying, every bar, every house of ill repute, everything that wasn't presentable to God, closed, shut down. People for 50 miles around would throw themselves over their machines that they were working on and say, when can I be saved? How can I be saved? He would save the whole town, him and one other man. I'm telling you, how about Smith Wigglesworth? Smith Wigglesworth said, where's his wife? She said, she's down at the neighbor's house. He said, what is she doing down there? He said, the neighbor's husband just passed. He said, what? He wouldn't listen to me while he was awake. He was live. Now maybe he'll listen to me. He goes down there. They sitting around kind of mourning, and he goes, said, where is he? They said, he's upstairs, Smith. And she said, Smith, don't. He said, he wouldn't listen to me before. Now maybe he'll listen to me now. He went up there, took the man off the bed. He was stiff, put him up on the wall and pointed at the wall and said this, walk in the name of Jesus. The man has started walking. Where are the Christians? I'm telling you, the whole world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. We've got a bunch of Christians that are weak, a bunch of Christians that are begging, a bunch of Christians that are broke, sick, marriage in trouble. That's enough of that. From now on, you're going to get radical for Jesus. Glory to God. Sit down. Glory to God. I didn't mean to preach that hard. Folks, it's our time. You're the generation he's been waiting on. It's not going to be you. He's going to do the work. You're just going to be the radical. Come on. All this shooting in Chicago, that's got to stop. We gotta come to understand this. If Finney can shut down a city with prayer, prayer can shut down an abortion clinic. You don't need to throw no bomb. Now, I'm not saying we do that, but I'm just saying people who do that, you can do it with love. Don't get quiet on me. You're going to either be on one side or the other. So you're going to have to pick sides of who you're going to be on. Don't look at yourself, because within yourself, you are just saved, sanctified. God is going to use you for great and mighty things, and it's time for you to be used. I don't care how you look at me. The time for the church being weak is over. The time for the church being used when it's a political election is over. We're going to put the person in there we want to put in there. Are y'all with me? Well, if everybody else can shout for their team. Now, I'm going to teach some stuff to you that's going to be powerful. Matter of fact, it's going to be so powerful, we're going to have to hold you down. I'm coming over here for some reason. It's going to be, it's going to be so powerful, we're going to have to hold on to you. I said, brother, cool out just a little bit. No. My wife and I.
Yes, Lord.
We're down there in Tulsa, Oklahoma, on the north side. The north side is, you know, folks. And it was some poor areas over there. So here we are in the housing project, holding hands with gangs in a circle, making them confess Christ. Radical. Oh, come on now. Came to Chicago with 200. Radical. Bill Winston, buy that shopping mall. What God told me. Radical. And when you take that step of radical, watch out, the devil try to assault you. Try to make people laugh at that. I went in the barbershop, man, told them they heard that we're going to buy a shopping mall. I went in the barbershop, and I'm sitting down there waiting on a haircut. That's when I stopped going to the barbershop. I was sitting down there waiting. No, I'm not telling you to stop going to the barbershop. But I'm waiting on a haircut. Well, Reverend, we heard that you or that church going to buy that. I'm winking at buy that shopping mall. I said, well, I believe I receive. You what? Radical. The lawyer asked me, we got to close the next Thursday. This is that follow the previous Thursday. Reverend, where is the money? I said, you know, I believe I received. You believe you what? Asked my wife. I went home, went to bed, covered my head up, and said, if the phone rang, I'm not here. No, I didn't do that. My point to you is, the gospel to the natural mind is not reasonable. And what people are trying to do is they're trying to reason the gospel. The more you reason the gospel, the further you get away from the supernatural. Now, I'm saying pray for these people that are caught up in some of this stuff and so forth. Pray for them. We can bring them in. If one can get converted, a million can get converted. Are you with me here?
Yes.
All right, let's go to something else. Then I'm going to wrap it up. Can I go to this last thing?
Yes.
I don't know why I'm over here. Something's over here. Okay. I'm going to see. All right, let's go to two places. Let's go to Revelation chapter 5. Let's go to Genesis chapter 12. How are we doing? We doing okay? Radical Christianity. It's that Christianity that's unbridled. It's that Christianity that doesn't care what you think. That's that Christianity that'll come to church if you don't have nothing to wear. I'm gonna come where you are in a minute. That's that Christianity that'll hold your hand up when you don't have nothing to give. Radical Christian. That's where they were in the old days. Folks, I believe only God knows how many of those old farmers back on the farm that just, them old grandmothers just believe God.
Yeah.
Only God knows how many kids broke their leg and grandmama prayed for them. We came back together. Only God knows. See, it hadn't spread, see. But it's about to catch fire. It's about to spread again. Isn't this good? All right, let's look at Genesis. Put verse 1 up there, please. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. And the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, into a land that I'm going to give you. And I'll make of thee a great nation. I'll bless you, make your name great. You'll be a blessing. And I'll bless them that bless you, and curse those that curse you. And in thee shall all nations of the earth be what? All families of the earth be blessed. All right, let's look at this word bless, to bless. Okay. All right, bless. What does it mean? It comes from the word Barak. You've heard that in a name, and some of you have heard that in the Jewish faith. Barak. It means to endue with power for success. It means prosperity. It means fertility or fruitfulness. It means longevity. It means promotion. To bless. I will bless you. And then it says, and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. That word is a Hebrew word, barakah. Barakah. It comes from the word bless. And it has to do with an empowerment that God's going to give you to do something now that you couldn't do before. That God is blessing you. Now, this is key. Because you may be in a tight spot. I got news for you. The blessing can get you out. Because the blessing is going to affect just about every area of your life. That when you have the blessing on your life. Now, Abraham had that blessing. And when God put that blessing on Abraham, everything changed. So the blessing will get you where you're supposed to be. The blessing will promote you. The blessing will pull you up. And the blessing will get you completely out of debt. Now, when you receive that blessing, you're going to have to embrace that blessing. So now I want to take back everything that was stolen from me. I want it back. I want to get whatever God has promised me as an inheritance. I want it in my life. So let's look at Revelation chapter 5 and verse 11, please, first. And then we'll go to verse number 6, 12. He says, "And I beheld and heard a voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive what? Power, come on, riches, come on, wisdom, yeah, strength, come on, honor, glory, and no S on blessing.'" Why? Because that's the empowerment. And it's going to empower you to get everything you're supposed to have. Now, we've got to have what I call faith in that blessing. And if I look at this, this blessing, glory to God, is what God placed on Abram, which changed his name to Abraham. And this blessing traveled down the line, and we see it plainly in Genesis chapter 27. Lord Jesus. Do I have a little bit more time? Because I'm feeling like I'm starting to rush here. So if you look at Genesis chapter 27, this is when Isaac blessed Jacob. Now, no matter what you are and where you go, this blessing is going to lift you up. No matter what industry you are in, glory to God, just hold on to the blessing. Look what it says in verse 26. "And his father said to his father Isaac said unto him, 'Come near now and kiss me, my son.' And he came near and kissed him. And he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, 'See, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field, which the Lord has blessed. Therefore, God given to thee the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine, and let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be thou Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curses thee, and blessed be everyone that blesses you.'" Lord, have mercy. Now, with that, what is happening here? What is happening is this blessing was going to come on Jacob like a coat. And when that blessing is on a person's life, no matter where that person goes, whatever they lay their hands to is going to prosper. Now, it sometimes the delay is there, not because of God, but because of something we're doing wrong or whatever have you. But God will eventually prosper that person, Lord Jesus. Now, what happened was Jacob now goes out with a blessing, and then Esau comes in. And when Esau comes in, he says, "Father, I'm ready for you to bless me." He said, "Son, wait a minute. I just blessed you." He said, "That wasn't me you blessed." Notice, Isaac couldn't take it back. He couldn't take it back. Because once the blessing is pronounced, you have just gotten blessed. And you can't take it back. Now, all of a sudden, Isaac blessed Jacob unintentionally, And Esau comes in for the blessing. And Jacob and Isaac said this. Sorry, son. I'm going to put it in my own words. I've already made him your master. If you look at Genesis chapter 28, do you believe your prophet? Do you believe your preacher? Do you believe my preacher? You believe and embrace what I'm telling you right now, and this blessing is going to take you to the top of your game. It is an empowerment from God to make you successful, and no matter what you have been called to do, you're going to be successful. You're going to be supernaturally prosperous. You're going to be, everything is going to be supernatural. Nothing's going to be natural. Say amen to that. You're going to be supernaturally provided for, supernaturally promoted, supernaturally protected, supernaturally preserved, supernaturally healed, supernaturally everything is going to be supernatural, supernatural. Watch this. And Satan can't stop the blessing. The only thing he did is he stopped Job from that blessing working in his life. Because Job opened his mouth. He taught, fear made him say the wrong thing. Are y'all with me? And look at Job chapter 6. Put that up there, please. And Job chapter 6, glory to God. And I think it's verse 24. Teach me, this is Job talking, and I will do what? Hold my tongue. Watch this. Cause me to understand, keep going, where I have erred. Next verse. How forcible are right words? You see what I'm saying? I'm saying when you get in a tight place, it's no time to start speaking negative. Why? Death and life are in the power where? Of the tongue. So I don't care what the doctor's report says. Let God be true and every man be a liar. I don't care what they say when they don't want to promote you. You let God be true and every man be a liar. The Bible says your promotion comes from the Lord and no weapon formed against you shall prosper. It says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver them out of them all. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. And there's no variableness of turning. I'm here to tell you, when God says it's time for you to go up, you're going up. And the blessing is on your life. The devil can't separate you from it. You can't get in the shower and wash it off. You can't get separated from now to all the days of your life that you are on the earth. You are going to be blessed. All of your days, it's going to give you business ideas. It's going to give you business strategies. Watch this. And it's going to even give you favor. And when the favor of God is on your life, let me tell you what favor will do to people. It will get you whatever you request. Here is a woman named Esther, and Esther went before the king, and next thing you know, Esther said to the king, said, Esther, what is it that you will have? I'm going to give it to you up the half of my kingdom. And Esther wanted the laws changed. She wanted everything, and the wicked guy Haman that tried to come against him, what happened to him? The gallows that he built to hang Mordecai, the king said, hang Haman right on those gallows. So whoever is coming against you, it doesn't make any difference how high up or how low down they are. They better back off, because you've got the blessing on your life, and that blessing is to protect you and promote you, to preserve you, and to give you victory. Give God a praise and an amen. So when he spoke that blessing over Jacob, he said, when I spoke it over, the blessing over him, it attached to him from this day to the day that he dies. He'll be your master. And from the day that he dies, he'll have plenty. He'll have protection. He'll have everything that comes comes with this blessing. The enemy can't separate you from it. Nobody can really get it from you. Nobody can wash it off. Nobody can hope that it doesn't work. I'm here to tell you that the God's blessing is now on your life, and I speak the blessing to be activated on your life right now in the name of Jesus. You lift up your hands and receive the blessing of the Lord. Two more scriptures. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. Over in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. There is he that scattereth and yet increaseth, and that is he that withholdeth more than his meat, and he tends to poverty. A liberal soul shall be made what? Fat. That means flourishing. But he that watereth, and he that watereth shall be watered himself. See the word liberal? Baraka. See, he didn't plan for you to just be blessed. He planned for you to be a baraka. Bless other people. Say amen to that. So you don't need to use that power to take advantage of anybody. Because when you walk away from the business deal, they're supposed to say, wow, I feel good doing business with them. See, you don't need to steal nothing because you got the blessing on your life. You own anything everywhere. One more. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. Say, I've got the blessing on my life. The blessing of the Lord maketh what?
Rich.
And he added, no sorrow. The baraka. This makes you rich. Put it up there in the NIV, please. Oh, yeah. You're on your way now. He said in the NIV, he said, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth. Come on. Without you staying up all night trying to figure out how you're going to pay these bills. Then that's when God, you know, he said, son, you just don't want to get out of debt, do you? I said, well, no. He said, you want to have abundance. That's the promise. He said, you have plenty of money. You can get out of debt. So I'm saying to you now, in Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, Christ has redeemed you from the curse. See, the way you remove the curse is with the blessing. Through the Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That the blessing, no, wait a minute, verse 13, let's start there again, please. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, curse is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham may come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. How did the devil talk Jacob out of using that blessing? What did he do? He brought him a deception. He brought him a jacket that had blood on it that came from Joseph and told him Joseph was dead. But with the blessing, your whole family is preserved. It can't happen. Give God praise. Come on, give him praise. Woo! So from now on, first, we got to get a little radical. We got to be willing to follow the Holy Ghost. If you ever follow the Holy Ghost, get ready to get bold, because he's going to lead you into boldness. Next, the blessing is on your life. From this day, I decree the manifestation of the blessing. That because I preached it, you believe it. And because you believe it, now you're going to see it. Amen. Before you leave, anybody here, if God is speaking to your heart about being born again, I want to pray for you. I want to pray that new life on you so you can be a part of this.